happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name's Dean. I'm the lead pastor and do the majority of teaching at the Lewis Center campus. And this past weekend, we not only wrapped up the series called The Good Life, we started a brand new term of life groups. And certainly, if you're not already connected in a group, I would encourage you to take that step. You can just text the word groups to 75642, and we will help you get connected to a group as much as we can fits your schedule and needs and your life. So we've thought about Job throughout this series. Job has asked God some really hard questions. Essentially, in the book of Job, there are three different movements. First, there's this reality that Job deals with Satan. Second, it's that Job deals with friends. And then thirdly, Job deals with God. And we really got to that point this past weekend, this moment in the book where, you know, all along Job has said to God, why don't you just show up? Why don't you just say something? And basically, you know, to Job's credit, God has been silent. But this week, God speaks. And he asks Job 80 consecutive questions for which Job has no answer at all. You know, he encourages Job, hey, I think it's chapter 40, verse 7, gird up your loins like a man. That's what the old King James says. And we just said, you know, God essentially says to Job, hey, you better put your big boy pants on. If you want me to speak to you, I'll speak to you. So God says to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. He says, can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say, here we are? In other words, God is saying to Job, if you don't understand the physical creation, if you don't understand how I created the world, and if the lightning bolts don't stop by your place before they strike the way they stop by my place, Job, if you can't understand what I'm doing in the physical world, the visible world, physical world that you can see, how do you think you're going to understand what I'm doing in the spiritual world that you can, that you cannot see? Essentially, I think what God is saying to Job is, listen, Job, you cannot have me and demand your way. We talked a little bit about Tiger Woods and Fluff Cowan, his famous caddy, and how sometimes professional golfers have the tendency to ask their caddies to do all the work, right? They carry the clubs, they give them the measurements, they read the greens. And sometimes the golfer takes the caddy's advice and sometimes they don't. But whenever the golfer hits a bad shot, there are some golfers who blame their caddies for everything bad that happens. And I just made the comment that a lot of times we treat God that way. We treat God like Fluff Cowan, right? Like we treat God like he's our caddy. Like he should offer us all the information. We may or may not take his advice. He should do all of the heavy lifting in our lives for us so that we're the ones at the press conference, right? We're the ones who get to answer all the questions and win all the prize money. And but if anything ever goes wrong, it's all God's fault, right? So God is essentially saying to Job, reminding him in the kindest of kind ways. He asks Job 80 consecutive questions for which Job has no answer. And God's not being smart aleck. He is kindly reminding Job, hey, Job, remember, I'm not your caddy. Like, I'm not here to serve you. I think sometimes we have the tendency, right, to forget that. But even in God's mercy at the end of the book, you know, everything that was taken from Job in the beginning, everything that Job lost, chapter 42, verse 12, says that the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep. Remember, he had 7,000 at the beginning of the book. He had 6,000 camels. He previously had 3,000. He has 1,000 yoke of oxen. He had 500 before all this happened in chapter 1. He has 1,000 female donkeys. And same here, he had 500 beforehand. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, that's an interesting point because Job lost 10 children at the beginning of the book. So what you realize here is that everything gets doubled. The sheep, the camels, the cattle, the oxen, everything gets doubled. But he only gets 10 more kids, 7 more sons, 3 more daughters. But when you know where something is, it's not lost. And one day in eternity, Job could count them all up. 14 sons, and 6 daughters, according to the kindness, mercy, and promise of the Lord. So I just said to our Lewis Center group on Sunday, you know, you really do have to ask yourself the question. I have to ask myself the question, right? Will you stop serving, right, when it cramps your schedule? Or will you stop giving when your disposable income gets tight? Will you stop loving your spouse when he or she gets depressed or angry or doesn't know what's going on in their lives? Do you have to be blessed to call yourself a Christian? Or can you follow God without the blessings? And especially in light of this past Sunday, you know, I think a lot of folks are going to say, well, Dean, I just don't have the time to join a life group. And I'll just be honest, like nobody has the time to join a life group. Nobody has the time to invest in other people consistently with no promise of return, right? But I'll say, for example, if you're married with children, the greatest practical gift you can give to your kids is a healthy marriage, a husband and wife working on their relationship. So get into a life group. Maybe that's focused on marriage right now. If you're a young single person, the greatest gift you can potentially give to your spouse or to a young person that you're going to minister to as a parent, teacher, or coach, right, is somebody who's faithful to the Lord. So get into a group. I guess a different question maybe we asked as we got to the end of the book is, you know, why was God so patient with Job? In chapter 40, verse 8, one of the questions that God asks Job is, would you condemn me that you would be justified? And I think our initial answer to that is absolutely not. We would never condemn God that we would be justified. But then when you think about it, a lot of times the answer is yes. We would. But we just have to be reminded that we have a God who, you know, left the coaching box right in heaven where everything was ideal and perfect. And he came down to field level. He came down to the real level with you and me. He became one of us. He was the ultimate innocent sufferer. And even when we feel like our faith is weak, he will hold fast to us. I'm going to pray for us today that we will enter our day and our week with that kind of gratitude. And then I'll give you the opportunity to pray. Father, thank you for what you've taught us in this series. Thank you for showing us that the good life is not about our circumstances primarily. It's not about the things that we have or don't have. Forgive us, God, for the moments when we treat you like you're our caddy. We lean into our brokenness. God, we're grateful that you hold on to us even when we struggle to hold on to you. As we approach this week, we do it with a heart that's full of gratitude. Now you take the opportunity to pray.